Hello everyone, it's the host here. My name is Quinn Lovett, also known as Bashno Online, and I just thought I would put out a little announcement before the episode starts, saying that since this is new and all, I would really appreciate it if you could share it with friends or, you know, people you think would be interested in this kind of thing, people that want to get more involved with the community and learn about it, and, yeah, just this whole thing is going to be based around showing off and interviewing challenge runners, so deathless runners and speedrunners, who I think, you know, have a really unique story to tell and, you know, just from all over and see what happens. So if you could, I would really appreciate it if you could share this around and, you know, spread the word that I'm going to try to do this. Yeah, and enjoy the episode. Thanks. Hello, and welcome to the first episode of Reach the Peak podcast. I'm Quinn Lovett, also known as Bashino, and we've got a very special guest for the first episode, Rick Finello. Hi.
Hello. Hi, Hello. Bashino. Nice being here for the first episode of your podcast. I'm excited to see who else you can bring here.
Yeah, I know. I'm excited to get it going as well. And yeah, we're just going to, you know, ramble on for however long needed to answer the questions.
You can tell me, what is this podcast going to be about exactly?
So I just want to have a place to like share people's experiences and show off, you know, speedrunners or challenge gamers or whatever in a place that's like, you know, easy to access and like just spreads, you know, what you're known for, your achievements, your like, and like minor stuff as well, like how you got into doing all this stuff. And yeah, just like
your I think there's a lot of people interested.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I was because I could only find like very few of this like style, and I thought, you know, if no one's gonna really do it, I might as well. So I thought, you know, it'd be cool to just have people come on, like top players, and just, you know, get you their unique insight and everything, and like see how they, you know, get to where they are.
I'm pretty honored to be on the first episode of this podcast, because I also think you're a really good player in all the things that you do. we can just tell by all the people.
this is not
yeah,
about
all the
me.
People around.
Shush. thank you. Wow. But, yeah, I guess we'll start, by, you know, who are you? Like, give us a little information about, like, who you are and, like, where you from, you know?
Well, I'm Rick. I'm from Brazil. I've born, raised, lived here, never left Brazil. I left Brazil once for, like,
a
little shopping trip in Paraguay. but other than that, I really just never even left Brazil. A lot of people think that I'm from like the US, or I moved to the US after being born in Brazil, but that's not true. I learned English mostly just by myself, by playing video games and stuff like that. And I'm not really knowledgeable in tech stuff. As much as I would like, a lot of my friends are. I'm really passionate about video games from since forever, right? Ever since I was a kid, it was just always something that I loved. All the, not even just stories, but I think mostly the gameplay, it was just something that really got me engaged.
Yeah.
Just like feeling the smoothness, and it's really hard to get a game that I don't like. Even though I sometimes have difficulty just playing games and continuing games, after I'm done with the game, I just go like, yeah, that was actually pretty cool. After I try to understand it, I'm really passionate about game design, even though I'm not a developer myself. I just, I love learning
about
game design.
You can, like, appreciate what has been done. Like, Yeah, that's I think that's cool.
I'm also 28 right now.
Oh, yeah. Cool. And I guess we should say, like, what you're known for, you know, what do people mainly know you for?
Well,
probably quite obvious.
Most people know me for Celeste 202 Deathas or Max Percent Deathas, which is pretty much just finishing the game, collecting everything that the game has to offer, everything that is trackable in the journal or in achievements, is what I try to say. Plus also the Pico 8 extra berries without dying a single time. In Celeste, you know, is a game that's a really integral part of learning how to play, but it also introduces like these golden berries, which is a big thing that made me want to play it. Deathless. It just has this intrinsic motivator of a golden berry, even though it doesn't give you any achievement. It's really cool. And nobody has done 202 Deathless yet. And it's not
no one
the hardest achievement possibly in Celeste. A lot of people say, oh, 202 Deathless is the hardest thing ever. Rick Fernando is the best player in the world. Some people say that. Mostly people that are not in the modding scene or people that are not like in the speedrunning and stuff.
Some of those mods I see, I'm like, bro, I can attempt to do that.
Absolutely insane. I would say it's not even like the hardest Deathless challenge if you count all the modded stuff. It's not the hardest challenge overall because, you know, there's speedrunning and stuff. Like that will probably have you seen the top runs?
Yeah,
there's like,
I have.
What,
there's
24
some
right now? It's
crazy.
Skips.
And like every like the frame perfects they pull off, I'm like, oh my god, no.
It's
too hard.
Yeah. It's so much knowledge that you have to be able to apply on the right time, I think.
Yeah. That's fair.
And when I did 202 Deathas, it's honestly most of the time I was playing kind of like for fun, casually, because I just love the game that much,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
It was my comfort
it
game.
It just kind
to
of
go
happens,
through.
You know?
And I just like, it's not that it just happens. Of course, I train a lot for it.
Yeah, of course.
But it
like
was
kind
comfortable
of
for me. It didn't feel like I was training that hard to do something like that, I guess. Because when I practice actual speedrunning, I feel like I have to focus on training a lot more than actually just playing for comfort.
Yeah. That's fair. Yeah. Well, thanks for that. I guess, also, you said you're from Brazil. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I have never been to Brazil. I don't know what it's like there. But I just want to ask, what in your opinion, what do you find like the gaming scene and community is like in Brazil? You know, I think it'd just be cool to get inside of like different countries, like culture as well. Like, you know, share that.
Mm-hmm. Brazil has one of the biggest gaming industries in the world, I believe. I'm not sure exactly the position, but it's actually pretty huge, especially on online gaming, like competitive esports and stuff. Brazil is pretty huge in that. But it's also a big country, and it's difficult to find places like this. It's really sparse, the population is really big, and most people that you know are just not that much into gaming, at least that I know in real life, are not that much into gaming. Maybe in more developed areas, I don't know much about just meeting people in real life that are into gaming. There are some people, but I don't think it's
there's no
like
major events.
Not popular, right?
Like there's no
What's
like
that? Sorry?
Is there like no like major events or anything for gaming?
There are a few events, but it's mostly in the big cities like São Paulo or Rio de Janeiro.
Oh yeah.
In my city, it's a little bit. Really, there's not that much going on here.
Yeah.
Even though it's not a small city either.
Yeah, fair.
But like in these capitals, like center of Brazil, the cities that everybody know about, São Paulo, Rio de Janeiro probably, these are the ones that have more gaming events and like cons and festivals and stuff like that, where people just go and meet each other and stuff. I personally never went to one of these.
No, not into massive meet and greets.
not into what, sorry?
Not into massive meet and greets at like conventions.
Nope. though I did have, once I had some of my community met in, I think, Berlin. But not with me. Just like some people that lived in Europe were like, okay, let's all meet everybody that met through Rick's community, let's all meet each other.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And it was cool.
That's cool. Yeah, cool. So I guess, like, I think it'd also be cool, like, away from the Celeste stuff and, like, you know, your main, like, what you're known for, I wanted to, like, just ask, like, how people get into gaming. Like, what were some of the first games you played and, like, you know, this also ties into, like, did you watch any players beforehand, or did someone get you into playing games? Like, what was your early inspiration and reasoning for, like, playing video games?
Like, in childhood, my first games ever, right?
Yeah. It doesn't necessarily have to be first games. It's more just, like, you know, first things that, like, got you, you know, involved and, like, wanting to...
Well, but I got involved immediately. I mean,
fair enough.
Like, when I was a kid. Like, not like, dedicated to a game, I think. I don't know if this is exactly, like, what you're asking.
I'm just kind of like, you know, what were the first, like, early games you played and, you know, made you fall in love with it?
I already fell in love when I was a kid with the games that I had. I loved... the first games that I remember playing were probably, like, Super Nintendo games, like Mega Man X, Super Metroid... Mario, Super Mario World, that is.
Oh, yeah.
What else? I think also Street Fighter 2. And I think my favorites were probably, like, Mega Man and Metroid. And, of course, I still love games like this today. Like, these 2D action side-scrollers.
Like,
and it's kind of a platforming, right? It's 2D platforming. It has some elements. So I always, like... I guess I got accustomed to it, especially Super Metroid was a big one.
Oh, yeah.
And for when I got really into gaming, let's see, I didn't have many gaming consoles growing up. I only had, let's see, a Super Nintendo and then a PS1 and then a PS2 when I was, like, already, let's see, I think I was maybe 9, 10, 11, from that age when I got the PS2. I never really got anything after that, any other console. I think I switched to PC when I was like 13 or so and started playing some... I played a few RPGs and stuff and started playing some online games. And at that time, indie games were still not a thing. And I didn't have a Steam account or anything. I'm 28 now, so this was like freaking 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And I don't know when I discovered indie games or, like, smaller games. I think I was, like, maybe 15 or 16 when there were some indie games.
Mm.
I think the first indie game that I played was probably one called Iji from Game Maker, which is also the same tool that was used for Undertale.
Yeah, it's like a coding engine-like thing, isn't it?
It is a tool that pretty much it's very easy to make games. You can say what's it called? No, there's a name for that. I forgot. It's just kind of like the games use Unity or Godot or something. Yeah. Like, there's games that use Game Maker.
I mean, I couldn't even attempt to make a game.
An engine, yes.
I'm not even gonna try.
And when I was like 13, I think even before I even played in the games, I tried using Game Maker. I don't know why, but it was... of course, I didn't get much into it. I made, like, a small game or something, but I don't know. I've always been in love with games. Like, it was always just my life. My parents used to, like, not let me play too much, and I wanted to, like, sneak to play some games. I had a Game Boy Color.
I definitely remember doing that. Don't worry.
Yep. A global experience.
Yeah, universal. Everyone does it.
And I don't know, what was the first game that I really got into? I think, like, those online games, right? I remember getting into, when I was like 13, I was really into Perfect World. Was probably my first game that I spent probably over 1,000 hours in. I don't even know how many hours I spent in that. And it's a little RPG, kind of a WoW clone. And
yeah.
What else? I think the next game after that, it was so many years afterwards. Oh yeah, no, there was also Combat Arms, which was a first-person shooter, and my PC was always really bad, and it couldn't keep up with players.
The potato
PC. So I was really
PC.
Used to playing with a really bad connection in PC.
Yeah.
And then Team Fortress 2 was the next big one that I remember.
Oh yeah.
And then Minecraft.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I think Minecraft maybe came first. It was still in the beta when I started playing it. And
yeah, nice.
Wait, can you hear me? Oh, sorry, I thought my PC shut off.
Oh.
My PC has been turning off recently because of the GPU. Okay.
Nah, anyways. Still here. Yeah, nice. Some good games in there.
But yeah, I think those were my first early ones that I spent like at least 1,000 hours or so.
Yeah, nice. I guess, you know, were there, on the same realm, like, did you watch any, at the time, like, players that you really liked, or, you know?
I never had any type of player inspiration for like, speedrunning and stuff, right? But I remember I just started watching those YouTubers that were really popular at the time for Team Fortress 2, and I think that's it. Like, Jerma and Star, namely.
Oh, yeah.
And the first one thing that I remember about speedrunning inspiring me early was I remember the first video I ever watched about speedrunning was a video about Metroid Fusion 0% or something.
Oh?
Or low percent, 0%. Like, yeah. And it was a TAS. And it was, to me, it was mind-blowing. And it had, like, this metal music in the background. And that really stuck to my mind.
When I first... And I thought... Yeah. When I first saw TAS, I didn't realize it was a robot. And then I was, like, put off because I'm like, I'm never going to be that good.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I found out, I'm like, it's a robot. Never mind.
Yeah, and first I also didn't know it was a robot or anything.
It's always funny, the first time you ever see TAS. I think
about the player, I was like, how does he do it? How does this happen? Like, wow.
Yeah.
I think that's everyone's first reaction to that.
Everyone's first reaction finding TAS is like, oh. Well, I can never do that. But yeah, no. So, yeah, you just kind of played because it was just what you did. Like, you didn't need an incentive to, like, find anyone that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I never started playing a game just thinking, oh, yeah, I'm going to get cracked at this game and I'm going to start speedrunning this game or anything like that.
Yeah.
Though I can give you some of my experience with Celeste if you want.
I was gonna. Well, we'll move into that. So yeah, I'm just also. It's always curious, like, because it's such a weird, you know, way of playing games, like challenge playing, like Deathless and speedrunning and stuff. So like, why this? You know, why not, like, you know? Because I always find it interesting when people like doing Deathless challenges, like. Why would you put yourself through this? Like, I know it's fun. Like, you know, you get into that headspace, but, like, to anyone else watching, it's like, this seems insane, you know?
Yeah, so I don't remember ever going to try and do any type of challenge runs in games before Celeste. Before Celeste, the most I would ever do was maybe, like, 100% the game in a way that just says, oh, the game is complete 100%. Or... sometimes all achievements, but I wasn't like an achievement hunter or anything like that. So this was really my first one. There was a game that it was really unpopular, like it didn't have like that many runners, even though I thought the game was great, called Downwell. And I did try to like do a few quick runs and stuff for that game, but I never really grinded a game super hard to try and do something so efficiently or super fast.
Yeah.
I just really loved like playing games repeatedly. And I think the thing that inspired me the most about Celeste was the existence of the golden berries. When I saw the golden berries at first, I was like, okay, I can give it a try, but this is clearly not for me, right? This is clearly not for me. And I just left it at that. And then I remember watching Enox getting Feral Golden. Now, that was an inspiration, like a lot after, right?
Yeah.
That really gave me just thought, I don't know what I thought, but when I saw Enox doing it, I was like, damn, just a normal guy. Like he's feeling those feelings, the feelings that maybe I would feel too. And yeah. I thought it kind of relatable. And I didn't think, okay, I can do this too. I thought it would be cool to try. At least, right? And it would be cool to try and feel these emotions too. And I just went for it again. I tried again. And then I started getting better, right? Because when I started the Golden's Forest, I remember I did all the sea sites because they were like mostly easy.
Yeah.
And then I got to like chapter 3A and that was just impossible. I don't remember if it was 3A or 3B. And that was just impossible.
3A, 3A
just,
is like, where people get to it and they're like, oh my god, no.
Right.
The difficulty, the and, like difficulty spikes a bit and you're like, oh no, I can't do this. But, you know, you push through.
I don't remember how exactly I got through across Enox, Farewell Golden, but there was also the DJ Tom's list, and I thought it was really interesting that somebody was cataloging it, and then there was this freaking big journal diary, the Wow Your Friends website. I really liked that journal. I was like, imagine being one of the people there.
Yeah, the like.
When I saw that, I think there were only like 5 people or so in that journal. And what else? And about Celeste itself, I never vibe with a game that hard. Celeste, I just thought it was so fun to play. It was just...
I feel like a lot of people have their opinion. Like, Celeste is just a very special game, I feel.
It's just very special. It just feels very good.
Yeah.
It's like... my first thought about Celeste, when I opened the game, I was like, it's just going to be those games that think they're so special or something like this. Like, look at this pretentious thing. I don't know why I had those thoughts, right? But they quickly went away as soon as I... As soon as I saw that cutscene in chapter 2 with the mirror breaking, the battling scene, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That one just... And when the music progresses, they go like, wow. Okay, now I'm engaged. You know, I just... Yeah. I finished the game in 2 days. Right?
Wow.
Downloaded the game one... Yeah, downloaded the game one day. On the next one, I finished it. And I just completely consumed that game. I just wanted more. I just wanted more. This is why I went for the Goldens, because it was not enough. I wanted more. And I didn't like modded stuff at the time.
There was something new to do all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just wanted something from the developer, because I trusted the developer at that point. I was like, okay, this is a developer. I can trust them. I don't know. I know it's going to give me a good experience. This is why I want more from this developer. And at least on this game, on this platform here, right? Even though I haven't played many of other Maddie's games, I do need to get on it. I know they're pretty good still.
Yeah, fair.
But yeah.
Did you play Celeste 64 when it came out?
I did. The day it came out, and Kevin and Lena Rain came to my chat to watch me. Yep. It was awesome. Really fun, and they were just joking around. It was cool.
Yeah, cool.
Kevin is so amazing, and Lena is so amazing too. Holy crap.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I guess that kind of that basically answers the question. There was just more stuff to keep doing, and you keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It was just more stuff, and I did Feral Golden. I did all the Goldens of Celeste before ever playing modded, right?
Yeah.
I think in total it was like 210 hours to finish all the Goldens for the first time.
Oh yeah. I guess also, like, in the same, since we're on the topic, like, when did you kind of realize that, you know, 202 Deathless was achievable? Like, was there a point where you're like, oh, damn, ooh, I can actually, like, do this?
Okay, now that's skipping a lot of steps, right? Because I never, it took so long to think that, like...
Yeah, I know,
at so
like...
many points, I didn't even, that didn't even cross my mind, not 202 Deathless. So, it was like this. I think I came across an 80% Deathless run, was it? I don't know exactly what happened. I think I just wondered, like, okay, there's all these golden berries, there's this golden list, that's cool. But how many people have, like, actually just finished the game? Would it be satisfying? I feel like it would be cool to just, like, start a new save file. Because all of these speedruns, there's always, like, intentional deaths and stuff like that. And there's always, like, little mistakes.
I think that's my reasoning a lot of the time. It's like, I look at the stats and it says, like, everything complete with the big zero in the way. I'm like, it's just pretty to look at.
Right.
I'm like, man.
And I thought the same. It's just pretty unsatisfying to look at, right?
Yeah.
And then I started training for 80% Deathless because I thought, okay, I've played a lot of modded Celeste already. I've done a few cool Goldens and stuff. And people have done this before, so it's not that big of a deal, too.
Yeah.
And so I tried, like, training for 80% Deathless. It took some time, and I did it eventually. Definitely easier than Feral Golden by itself, by the way.
Yeah, I haven't done
it. And when I did it, I recorded it too. Like, when I did it, I remember the feeling just going like, that's it. Like, I felt disappointed. And you know what? It's kind of because when you finish Celeste, spoilers for Celeste, by the way.
Yeah.
There's the pie screen, and having no berries there, having nothing there, I just felt like, wait, they're all sad.
They're all like, right? they're so disappointed in you. They're like, man, they're like so didn't get anything.
Didn't get anything.
It's like, bro.
And then I felt, and then this thought occurred in my head, what if I did just all berries or something like that? And I don't know if this was the point where I did like all seasides deathless, but it was so easy compared to 20%. Like, it just took me like one play session to get all seasides deathless. And then I started the grind for all berries, and then I realized, wait, I have to learn a lot of things, right? Why don't I just pick up everything on the way? And then I realized, wait, has anyone even done that? Cool, there can be all the berries, but what about the Fuklers? I learned about the Fuklers, the flags. And then this thought just occurred, like, isn't it cool? Like, I always wanted to do something as a first, or something as the, I don't know, the people would maybe know me for. And I tried looking for people that have done all Fuklers deathless, and I had found like only two, or only one or two. And I thought, okay, this is actually not that many people. I would be like this. I thought there was only one person, so I thought, okay, I'm gonna be the second person to do this then. That's really awesome. And then later I figured out there was one more.
I think
and so I tried it, and it was so much harder than I expected. Like, so many stupid deaths, because you also had to learn everything, because in the Goldens you don't have to do the berries and collectibles and stuff, so the game becomes so much bigger. And after that, finally, after so much time, this is when I started getting a few more viewers and people to follow my stream, because they wanted to follow this journey, and it was cool. And so many people were helping me with Shastu. And this is where, especially this is where Vixie met me. Vixie just randomly raided me when she was doing the Goldens for the first time. And she was really impressed with me trying to do all the Goldens in a row like that. And I already had like plenty of modded experience. I think I already like finished Spring Collab at that point. Strawberry Jam wasn't out yet.
Yeah.
And eventually I finished it, and it felt really satisfying. Just the full clear deathless felt really satisfying. I tried going on for the true ending, but no, I didn't practice Farewell nearly enough. I had done Farewell like only golden only once, so obviously it couldn't do it.
Yeah, fair. I mean, getting Feel Gold hard enough by itself. Like,
exactly. Exactly. And I don't know if it was by this point that I started trying Feral Golden again, and then I did it one more time with the Moonberry, and then I wanted to practice it a little bit more. No, I think, hold on, I think this was later after. Actually, okay. So after this, I went for the B-sides Deathless, which was still pretty hard, but it was easier than all Fuklers Deathless, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And as I was doing this, I think I was, as I was doing the all Fuklers Deathless, I watched the video from Carl Jobst for the Dark Souls God Run hit list from Dino Sinju.
Yeah.
That video really inspired me. That video was crazy. I was just like, wow, this is actually insane that somebody just put layers upon layers upon layers of something.
Yeah.
And that reaction that they had at the end, I just felt motivated from it.
Yeah. And it's like, just that feeling you get once you, you know, do something.
You could like, kind of feel everything that you went through with that.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like a whole journey, you know?
A whole journey. And then, okay, finish all the B-sides, and then all the...
Rick took a 4-minute break.
And then I started going on a tangent and talking about the experience of 2-2 Deathless, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, so, no, that's okay, that's okay.
You had asked about when the feel was possible.
When did you think it was possible? To do 2-2 Deathless,
and then I was just saying, okay, so the main thing is that once I completed one step, I thought, okay, so I can just go for the, I can just do another thing now, and I also felt satisfied. What if I did the other thing? What if I did the other thing, right?
Yeah.
And then I think after I done all Full Clear's Deathless, I realized, wait, nobody has done 100% Deathless, right? I think that's kind of nuts, but I don't know. Like, wouldn't you just, like, combine everything? So I did all the C-sites, And I thought, okay, all Fuklis, all Seasides. Wait, that's kind of doable. I don't have to do any percent again, right? That's kind of doable, actually. And then all the B-sides.
Yeah.
And then Feral. And then, I don't know, I did everything like this, and it was... And then I had all the pieces together, right? And then I did Feral Golden a few more times, and then I had everything. And yeah. I thought, okay, now I just need to put all these pieces together, and then yeah. I can do 100%.
You kind of have
but it didn't cross puzzle. My mind. So, some people started asking me, well, would you go ahead and go for 202 then? And no, obviously not. That's crazy. And that is redundant. That's stupid. It's just redundant, right? Because I've already done 100% just adding all just the berries the and 80%. It's not even all the collectibles. It's just going to be redundant, right? So not many people know this, but the day I got 100%, it was awesome. It was cool. Very cool. And then like I took a break for like 2 days. And then people were just like, okay, now just continue the save file and see how long you can get to a die. Awesome. It's I was just see how long you can get to a die.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Yeah. I didn't, right? I got to 201 berries, deathless.
Yeah.
on the same day. And it was a big... That was the most gigantic fluke in my life. It was like first try, everything deathless from that run. Like I didn't play in between, right?
Let's just keep going.
Deathless. I took a break. I didn't even play, right? And then I came back into Celeste, just joined the save file. I didn't even practice anything, and I got all the 201 berries. So that is just like, it's insane to talk about this. People don't understand how fucking insane this is, because I took it, that 100% by itself took me so many attempts, right?
And
that took me like 600 hours. If you combine everything, all the training, all the goldens, all the full clears, it took about 600 hours for that alone. And then I immediately got to 201. Go ahead, sorry.
I think the point you got to like 200 berries was when chat like started absolutely like losing their minds. They're like, no fucking way, he's gonna do it. Like right now.
He's gonna do it right now. Because I was riding the high from 100% deathless, and I was so chill. I had no expectations for this run. I didn't think about anything. I was like, no, I'm never gonna do 2-2 deathless. Like, there's no way I can do 2-2 deathless, right? It's just, this is for someone else. I'm okay with getting 100% deathless. Somebody else can get 2-2 deathless, right? This is for someone else. And yeah. I was so chill, and I think that's what kind of carried me, right? Having no expectations.
Yeah,
I remember that was one of the happiest days of my life when I was doing, not when I got 100% deathless, but when I got the 201 day berries deathless. That was, I remember just feeling like everything is right with the world. Like everything could be solved. Like everything was, gosh, it was an amazing feeling. I never felt just content in that way. Like something clicked in my brain at that point where I was... There's like a point where I'm not even making sense. But I say the key is to just be happy. Like all you have to do is just
enjoy it.
Be happy. Just enjoy it. And like, then I thought, it's all about mindset. It's all about just enjoying the things you have.
With speedrunning, I don't know. And like challenge gaming, that kind of stuff. There's no point doing it if you're not still having fun.
Exactly.
Like,
and I was having fun.
I feel
a lot
like
of people say the 100% deathless is the most boring thing you can imagine. I was loving it.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I had the stream by my side. I could chat all the time. I had people chatting, talking to me, and that was the most fun I've had.
You want to still be like enjoying yourself, and you know, because I feel like you perform better that way anyway. If you're not so stressed about like, you know, like doing it, you just kind of get into the zone. And it
exactly.
just kind of flows. And, it's
and
not...
you can see how much I just talk during these runs because I'm having fun with chat.
Yeah.
If I didn't have chat with me, I'm sure I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't be able to do it. It was just being with people there that helped me so much. And then, as you know, and then I had to practice the winged berry, as you know, because it was not required for 100%. So I never practiced it before. So I had to train a different save file for that because I knew I wasn't going to do it first try.
Yeah.
Right? And then I practiced it until I was sure I was going to get it. And then I came back to the save file and then I got it. And then that was it. I did 2-2 deathless, right?
Yeah.
But it was not in one go. Right, it wasn't even like speedrun valid because there's a point in the 100% deathless where I just like quit the game because I just want to like show something to a viewer, so I just quit the game. I'm like, okay, it was so casual, right?
Yeah.
And then it clicked in my mind, okay, if I did 100% deathless, if I did 2-2 deathless in two sittings, one go that means I can absolutely...
You can just do it. You've done it before.
I'm the person. If there is anyone that can do it, it's me, right? Yeah. And, oh, there's also, like, so much pressure on 100% deathless. I don't know if you know this, but it was kind of a race that I didn't ask to be in, right? I was just going for something that
Enox
I thought...
Enox was practicing, like, wasn't he?
Yeah, Enox, yeah. Athena.
Oh, Athena.
Who else? MT Steve. And there was also Slad. And so I was doing that, and then people caught an authority. Once I finished, like, once I did, like, 100% with six deaths or so, people started really watching my streams. I was putting, like, 100 viewers, and people were like, okay, is he going to do it? And then a lot of people got inspired by that, and they're like, okay, no, I'm going to be the first or something. I don't know what they wanted. They just wanted to do it. I don't know if they wanted to be the first or not, but they really wanted to do it at that point.
I mean, knowing a few of them, they probably just wanted to be the first. not a diss on those guys. I love them all, but some of them are like, yeah, I just want to be the first, bro.
Okay, so I asked Enox and Steve, and both of them didn't really want to be the first. And Slad wasn't like actively practicing, right? Slad had like six, or I think Slad had like eight deaths, and they weren't actively practicing. I'm not sure about Athena, though. I don't know about Athena. Okay, and then the race was over. This is why I was feeling so happy, because I was dreaming about this. I was having nightmares about this. I was like, I couldn't sleep. It was so much pressure on the first 100% death.
I really don't want someone to snake this from me.
It came from something that was fun to something that was just a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
And then I was just ahead, right? After that, I was just ahead. There was nothing else. Like, nobody did this, and nobody is close to getting two deaths. And they just stopped. They just, after I finished it, they just stopped.
they just kept going with it. Everyone just gave up on it. They're like, well, he did it already.
I don't know what happened, but they just, most of them didn't keep going.
Probably because it's insanely hard. I don't know.
Yeah. It's pretty difficult. Okay. And yeah, at that point, that is when I started saying, okay, I can do two deathless. And I still had doubts after that. I still like, okay, is this going to do it? I don't feel like I'm improving at all. I don't feel like I'm making any improvements after I got like one death, after I got like multiple, one, two deaths or so. Right. And I needed, I think I did like eight 100% deathless before I got the two deathless. So it added over 1,000 hours of grind to get this run, even though I already had the 600 hours on and 100% deathless, it added over 1,000 hours to get the 2-2 deathless. So it was a long, long time.
Yeah. Cool. We talked a lot about that.
It's not too long. I'm sorry.
No. That's good length. That's good. More conversation, the better.
Awesome.
Yeah. I guess also I want to ask, because it's always interesting, you know, how people play their games and stuff. And I've always been fascinated. How did you, like, develop the dual, like, controller keyboard style?
That's a fun topic.
It was always interesting.
Feral Golden for the first time is when I switched to it. I had lots of problems with my PC. My PC wasn't always the best. And, my monitor that I used to use wasn't even good. It was, like, 60 hertz or something. It was like a square, stupid monitor. And I noticed I had like input lag. And at that point, I also noticed that, I don't know, like my, I was playing with analog up until that point. And I think at some point, like 4B Golden or so, I switched to D-pad. I miss dash so much. I just miss input so much. And then I thought, yeah, some people play with keyboard, right? And keyboard, I noticed that it's harder to miss input on keyboard because you got three fingers on the keyboard, while on D-pad you have one finger. So you can like press left and right at the same time.
I feel like keyboards are a bit chunkier. There's like more area to press things.
Yeah, you have, the main thing is that you can switch direction, especially like left and right. At will, like there's no delay at all for switching left and right. You can just do that whenever, and there's no risk of misinputting that because the game is always going to register the final direction that you did, especially in Celeste. That has a really good register for that. But I tried playing with keyboard, and it was so difficult. I couldn't get used to dashing and jumping and grabbing.
Had you played with...
I already had the WSD memory down because I played FPS before and other games that use WSD.
Yeah.
And then, wait, can I just...
Yeah, like, just combine them.
I just thought, can I just grab the controller in one hand, the keyboard in the other? I was like, wait, this is not that hard to do, actually. Yeah. And I think it took like less than 2 days to fully get used to it. And after 2 days, I was like already being better than what I was. And then I think half of Firewall Golden Grind, it was before I switched into this, and the other half was with this. And I was doing so much better.
Has anyone like adopted the style since you've like kind of made it popular?
Oh my god. So many people starting using this after me. I don't really suggest it and recommend it to people that much because...
Spoilers, I tried and I cannot use a controller to save myself. So I was like, yeah, fuck this. I'm going back to keyboard. I was like, this is not working. I quit.
Understandable, yeah. So I don't really recommend it to people because I don't know the health effects it can have in your hands because you're holding the controller on one hand and that can like you can apply a lot of pressure to it. But it's a risk that I'm willing to
I don't know, do you just rest it on your lap when you're like using it?
Yeah, or, I just put it on my lap. There's a video. Have you not seen the video?
I don't think so.
I need to show you. Sorry, I need to show you the video. I don't know.
Just send it to me, and I'll watch it after this.
Okay, I'll send it later then.
Yeah.
Let's see. And a lot of people adopted it, and they found it to be very easy to get used to. Like, if somebody, especially like controller players, people that are used to controller, and they have played like FPS games, because
I think it's I've never used a controller in my whole life. Like, I've always been PC, so.
Yeah, and people might not realize, but, you know, you already use two things at the same time. You use the keyboard and the mouse at the same time. It's not much different than that. It's just that instead of the mouse, you're using the controller, right? So you use the keyboard and the controller.
Fair enough.
So it's pretty simple. And even sometimes I popped into random streams of people playing Celeste for the first time. Not even like
using the
speedrun or anything.
They're using
and they asked me about it. They asked, oh, do you play with controller or keyboard? I say, yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Controller and then I tell them about my controller input. And they get curious and they try it and they like it immediately.
It's like,
right?
You're like, keyboard or controller? You're like, both's good.
Yes.
Both's good.
Yeah, it's good.
And they're like, wait, what? No, you can. It's like you just take both of them from their hands and run away with them. Yeah.
But yeah, especially after, like, there was a big documentary that a Brazilian person made about me. I helped him with it, and that video was like so amazing. It's like a movie. It's like a 1 hour
video.
Yeah,
I did
see
that.
Super well edited. Is the Save Manuel? Have you watched it?
I've watched it, but couldn't really understand half of it, but that's okay.
Yeah,
it was very
okay.
It's like cool editing style.
Yeah, trust me, that video is amazing. Very good editing, even though he has like a YouTuber voice, just goes like super excited, I'm talking about things, and this guy just did this.
I think it's probably aimed to a younger audience, right? I'd imagine
it's definitely pending to younger audiences.
Yeah, but it was still a cool video.
It's still, cool.
Still a good video.
It's still a really good video. Like, still wow.
Yeah, so I have seen that. Even if I couldn't really understand it as, you know. Oh, well. I tried. Yeah, okay. So that's how you developed. You just did it one day, and we're like, sounds good. Yeah, that's interesting. It's always fun to, like, find, you know, unique things that people do to just, you know, get to the next level and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't think you need to do any of this to get to the next level, by the way.
Just,
there's Parrot, for example, and she just does it with analog, which I think is the hardest way to play Celeste, and she still does it with freaking analog. And
I guess it's just
really
like whatever works best for, you know, the individual.
Yeah, just try out
whatever
things.
Works best.
That's the lesson for it. Try out things.
I think it's more what I'm trying
to say
is I think it's cool that you just decided to try it. Like, you know.
Uh-huh. Even though it sounded crazy, right?
No, it's just, I mean, it's unique.
Yeah, when people hear about it, they go like, wait, what?
What? When I first heard it, I was like, it doesn't sound like a bad idea, right? Like, it's, you know, it makes sense logically, like, in my head. But I was just like, I haven't seen anyone do it before. So I was like, you know, I think it's cool. But I never was like, yeah, it's like, I always thought, like, yeah, it's probably, you know, a good idea. It's just, I'm not doing it.
And there are players that are even better than me that use this too. I think Vidi uses hybrid.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
He might do?
I believe so. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I can't remember. I think he might do though.
Or was it Nins? I don't remember now.
But
No, Nins is keyboard.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. I guess we'll end it off as well. Like, wrapping up. But do you, like, what hobbies, I guess, do you have outside of gaming? And also, like, you know, any future goals with it, or, like, just any, like, life-related things, you know? Not necessarily with gaming or with gaming, just whatever you want to talk about.
I have plans of getting more into, I don't know, there's so many things I want to try. I want to try, I have a few things in mind which are like maybe learning a new language. I would like to learn Japanese. The musical keyboard, I used to play it when I was a kid and then I just dropped it. But I love music too, and being able to play it would be fantastic. I love, let's say, I want to learn drawing art. That's a really cool thing. I have some problem like visualizing art. I don't know if I have like some degree of aphantasia. Not
I'm
necessarily
not good
but
at like drawing or art in that way.
It's such a difficult skill, yeah. And people, but like I'm surrounded by a lot of people that are fantastic at art, and I kind of want to get more into that.
I understand little dots on paper more than I understand a drawing.
And these are the things that I still want to like get more into. I've tried a little bit of all of those things, but haven't gone through with it. Also, I kind of like, I don't know, like Rubik's Cubing. I think it's interesting. I would like to learn that.
I used to do that. I can't remember how long ago it was, but I wasn't that like,
all of these...
I got into that hobby for a bit.
Oh, that's fun. Cool. There's so many friends that got into it. Yeah, it's pretty
fun. Yeah, it's pretty fun.
All these like types of puzzles and things you can grab with your hand. I don't know. I really like those. I don't have many of those, but it's things that I would like to have.
To
now
be
that
fair,
I think of it.
I don't think I was very good at Rubik's Cubing, but I tried my best.
It's cool. Like, if you ever solve the Rubik's Cube, you're better than 99.9% of people that touched one.
Yeah, fair.
And let's see. About the future, I don't have anything like challenge related. I don't really have anything that I want to do challenge related. Though I've been trying to golden or silver most things in Strawberry Jam. I've been continuing with that. Yeah. And a lot of people have done that already. It's not like that big of a deal, but it's something that I like. So I'm just going to continue with some Celeste Goldens until maybe when Earthblade comes out or Silksong. I can play those games a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
I know I definitely play those.
Silksong.
And there's so many games I'm excited about. Like Windblown, Deltarune Chapter 3, and more.
Silksong,
what else? Mega Man X Corrupted. Was that?
Silksong to Spearface.
But yeah.
Oh well. Yeah. Nice. And I guess last thing I want to say is, would you have any like advice or, you know, for people who are wanting to get into like challenge gaming or, you know, this community or like, yeah, whatever, like any advice for people who are like interested in it but not quite sure or like not sure how to get into it or, you know.
I think one thing that I tell people when they're going for Goldens and Celeste is respect the difficulty. Don't think you're going to do it first try because you're not, right? If you need to know that it is a hard task that you can break into steps, just like any hard task in life. You can, because that's how I did to that. It's like I broke it into steps. Like I started by playing the game, then I got the Goldens. Right, and with the Goldens, you have to practice individual screens, right, and stuff like that. Breaking into parts is a really good way of doing something that you want to do, and seeking advice too, because the community has so many resources, and people will know things that you don't, and they will be able to help you, right?
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for the community, I wouldn't have gotten into this, and just people that taught me things, especially big shout outs to Eugene and all the other participants that did. They were trying 100% deathless. So we were all helping each other, despite it being kind of a little race. We were helping each other.
I always think people like get nervous to reach out to like others, you know, because they're like, oh, but I don't really know them, or like I don't know how to talk to them. It's like usually people are just people, you know,
and they love talking about the things,
you know,
that they like.
We're gonna people respond like talking about the things that they know about. Like we're gonna help each other, you know.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Unless you're talking to, like, a really big streamer that talks to a bajillion people every day, right? Or a bajillion people message them every day.
How many challenge games just asking anyone doesn't like that, though?
Yeah.
But, yeah, no. Yeah. Usually people are quite willing to, from what I've experienced, are, like, quite willing to chat and just, you know.
Oh, and you also asked about future goals and stuff. There's something important. Is that I want to keep growing my channel and stream. I used to like just work a regular job when I was doing 100% deathless, right?
Yeah.
Up until when I was doing like B-sides deathless.
Don't worry, your channels be linked in the description. Everyone go follow Rick.
Thank you. But that's not even this. It's just that once I got 100% deathless, one of my friends just told me, you know what, you could actually do this full time. Like, you're getting people that really support you. And I tried it, and that's what worked out for me. And I just have a better life than what I did in my previous jobs now.
Yeah.
And I want to stick to this, and I want to, like,
I mean, I think
have more videos.
If you can make it
and
work, then you should absolutely go for it. I think
life,
you should always strive to do what you want and what you love. Because
I don't think it's,
you know, you've only got one life.
I don't think, like,
you might as well
Twitch streaming. Sorry.
Yeah, I feel like anything, you've got one life, you might as well try to, like, live it however you want, you know? And if playing games for people is how you want to do it, then why stop you? Like, go for it, you know?
And there's a big social aspect to this. My life after Twitch is so much better. Like, Twitch saved my life, I can say. It's not just like games, it's the people,
just the
right
community.
Knowing more people, interacting more with people is what saved my life, and Twitch was the means to that, and the games were the means to that, right?
Yeah.
And I'm such a better person now after Twitch, after talking to so many people. And I'm so glad, I'm so proud about that, and my self-confidence is so much better now.
That's
and
awesome.
Loving yourself is the best thing you can do always.
Yeah.
And
of course,
so I want to just keep going with this. I want to make more YouTube videos and stuff. I still struggle with like energy and motivation. I have a few things that make it difficult for me and my personal life, but I still have hope for the future, and I think these things are going to turn out well.
I always think, yeah, that's probably like the most important thing, you know, is just to keep reminding yourself, like, it can be, there's like rough points in life and that, but it will get better if you stick with it, I feel, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I would say
it's
ultimately
difficult to say from the outside sometimes, just it'll get better. It
it's
might
hard,
feel a little
it's
bit
hard to tell
like
yourself that it's going to get better in the moment.
Yeah.
And it seems really rough, but just knowing that, like, there are people that you can reach out to and, like, you know, talk to about it that aren't going to judge you or be, you know, upset or angry, you know. There's always people out there that you can find that will connect, that you can connect with, and, you know, develop a sense of community with. Yeah.
And it's so worth it. Yeah.
Sorry, I got deep at the end.
Yeah, a conversation like this always goes that direction. Because I don't know, I'm just deeply grateful for so many people, and deeply grateful for everyone that helped save me like this. And honestly, people are just amazing, and they really inspire me.
It's awesome. Yeah.
If it wasn't for my community, like, wow. I sometimes I feel like I don't deserve it, but
of course you deserve
it. Like, it's like my friend Caleb says, get loved on, nerd.
You must take the love.
You must take the love.
You must take it. Well, that's been pretty good conversation. I hope we talked about some more unique and interesting stuff than just, you know, Celeste. We did talk a lot about Celeste, but What can you do?
But I think it's.
I hope
it's,
this was engaging.
It's kind of the point, right?
Yeah.
We can talk about experiences of people like this.
Yeah, I hope this was engaging for you and you had fun. You
extremely.
Know? Well, that's good. That means I did something right.
You did something absolutely right. Thank you, Vasya. I really appreciate that. I appreciate this conversation, especially with a friend like you. And also big supporter like you, of course, that I'm going to be very happy to answer you whatever questions you have, okay?
No, I'm going to cry. No, okay. Yeah, anyway, thank you so much for being the first episode. And I really hope you have a great rest of your day, afternoon, night. I don't know what time it is in Brazil.
It is 9:40 p.m.
Nice. So, yeah, but thank you so much for, you know, coming on and chatting about your life and your hobbies and sharing it with all of us. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
As always, everyone watching, Rick will be linked in the description. So definitely go and follow and sub. You know, do all the stuff you should.
Yeah, I do.
You
I
need to.
Celeste, I'm
if
sure,
you're listening,
mostly
to...
a lot of yeah. variety and stuff.
Nowadays. If you're listening to this, you need to do it. I'm telling you.
So true, Basha. just force the people into. Definitely, they're all gonna just follow.
They're
it,
all
surely.
Gonna listen, surely. But yeah. So thank you so much. And I guess we'll wrap it up here. Any last words?
I think that's it. Just save the world, my final message. Goodbye.
Bye bye. Thank you so much. So yeah, that was Rick Finello. Great person, awesome guy. You should definitely follow him and subscribe to him. I've left the links in the description, like I said. And yeah, it would just be really cool. I think he's cool. I think his community is great. You should all, you know, go and check it out. And also, thanks for listening to episode 1. I hope this can be the start of something really cool. I'm hoping to get quite a few cool people to interview. And yeah, I'm aiming sort of once a month to have someone new. So, yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to say thanks for listening. Stay safe out there and have a good one. Bye.